you for turning out in record numbers to make your voices heard. You voted, and you delivered a clear message. You chose hope and unity, decency, science, and yes, truth.
You chose Host Unknown as the best non-vendor cybersecurity podcast.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are joining us, and welcome to the twice award-winning Host Unknown podcast episode, I've lost track, 109.
113.
Indeed. So, gentlemen, what's it feel like to be a winner?
Well, I'm used to feeling like a winner anyway, but today, and do you know what's going to be really funny is if this is not just something we're hearing locally, but if your voice is genuinely being recorded as myself and Jav are hearing it, it's going to sound like you are high on helium. So you have been celebrating, since you don't drink alcohol, you've been celebrating by
down the balloon shop.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs>
Well, what are those little small canisters you see everywhere? That you
laughing
know...
gas. The old yes. Nitrous. Yeah.
Oh, for making soda water.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're going to see a whole pile of those empty in the bin in his hotel room. Like...
Instead of like alcoholic miniature bottles, yeah. Oh,
well,
dear,
you know,
no,
man's,
good to
man's got to have a habit, you know, got to have a hobby, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. It's, yeah, so. But that's the high life of winners, though, right?
Exactly.
People always say, you know, talent that was destroyed too early if it wasn't for the demons inside them.
Exactly. And you know what? If it wasn't for the laughing gas, I wouldn't be laughing during the show. So, you know, it's a necessity. It's a necessity. Anyway, Jav, how are you?
Very good. You know, we spent the last 3 days hanging out quite a lot at InfoSecurity Europe in the new location of Excel.
Yeah, where all the fuddy-duddies were like, oh, I don't like it here. It's too far away. Can't get a train.
Well, there was a train strike. So. Yes.
Mere details. There was a nationwide train strike.
It's like people in Europe could get a flight over to City Airport and then walk over. So if you were living in like Germany or Holland or something, it was more likely you would turn up at the event than if you lived in some
Southeast London, like somewhere else we could mention.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh dear. But was it even worth it? Like, you know, was there anything worth seeing at InfoSec other than people?
Well, people are the thing worth seeing.
I found one product that I'm going to pass on to my CTO.
Oh, okay. What do you want to give an insight into what it does? Without mentioning them by name, because you know they're not paying for sponsorship yet. Yeah. But you know, double award-winning show, they might want to.
Absolutely. Basically, it's the I hate to use these terms, but I know why they get used. It's that
zero trust
single
XDR.
Pane of glass view.
Single pane
of glass view into all of your cloud environments, so on, you know, AWS, Azure, etc. And it monitors for configuration vulnerabilities and stuff like that. So anybody who's had to, you know, set up AWS it can get immensely complex, you know, because we're talking about virtual environments across the board. And what it does is map it all out and show you where the weak links are, you know, in a real sort of, you know, looking left to right on a diagram process. It shows you traffic flows, etc., and where you need to make changes. And then, best part of, there's a big green button that says remediate. It just does it for you.
It's not a logic monitor by any chance, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not. Why? Are they sponsoring since you mentioned them?
Well, no, but they could do, because obviously you've mentioned a product and, you know, whoever gets here first, right?
First past
the post. Competitor to, exactly. If you're a competitor to logic monitor...
Yeah, so Emetic, if you're listening, you may want to have a, you know, if you want to get ahead in the game.
You know, that reminds me, there was this one product, and I can't remember what it was, but it had a big red button in it, and it was like self-heal. It was kind of like you would find like issues on your network or what have you. This is going back a few years, so it must have been on-prem or something, but it was like a big red self-heal button that you'd press and it would apparently go out and fix everything. It'd probably break half your infrastructure in the process. Say, but...
Well, that was one of the questions I asked was, does it have an undo button? Because it's all, you know, you might want to press the big green button, but if it screws it up, you want to undo it all as well. I said, we've got that.
Yeah, all the promises made on the stand that
obviously. I'm not going to buy it.
This is just...
Sorry,
The self-professed non-technical person was wowed by a big green button at InfoSec and he's passed it on to the CTO. Yeah. Tom, CTO, if you're listening, just put it into the delete folder and you'll save yourself a lot of that.
Well, I know the guys who set it up, because I know them from the publicist days. And also, there's an ex-Sentinel-1 guy there as well. So it was actually nice to bump into him, I have to say. And he was a very talented guy. He left in December to join them. So, yeah, anyway, like I said, I'm not going to buy it, but I shall be passing the details on. So what do you know? So, Jeff, did you have a good week?
I did, yes. I enjoyed it immensely. It was good catching up with people. I did say it kind of like felt a bit soulless because there weren't as many people.
Because I wasn't there.
To me.
Everybody needed our soul there. There's no question about it.
I was reflecting a bit on it last night, and I thought I enjoyed it quite a lot because although I met fewer people, I think the quality of interactions were better because everyone had no one else to talk to. So you ended up having longer, better conversations with people. And so from that perspective, I did enjoy it rather than like meeting everyone for 5 minutes throughout the whole day and say, oh, we need to catch up. Yeah, we will, mate. And then you never see him again.
Yeah. So why was it
pretty much what we do?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So the only reason we still talk is because of this damn podcast. This damn award-winning podcast. So why was it soulless? What was the difference?
Excel as a venue, I know it's a purpose-built thing and there's many positives to it. It is a soulless venue. It's like a bit sterile. It's a bit like walking into a massive hospital ward or something. It's just, or an airport.
Which, ironically, isn't that what it became during the pandemic?
Yeah
it was one of the Nightingale, wasn't it? One of the Nightingales. Yeah. So, Andy, what about you? How's your week been? You know, not that we've been able to catch up with you this week.
No, not been at InfoSec, but not actually that bothered about it, if I'm honest. Like Excel has never been one of those places that I look forward to travelling to. However, I have had my own challenges, and that is trying to secure a caterer or a private chef for my sister's birthday, which is in a couple of weeks' time. We're going away somewhere. I said about 3 months ago I'd take care of the catering. And so I started it this week, and everyone, of course, like, nah, mate, we're booked till September. Nah, mate, it's wedding season. We're all booked up. So
how many people are you going to end up cooking for?
Well, so fortunately, it's only an intimate dinner. So I do have a Rosette awarded personal chef coming
take care of the cooking. Isn't Rosette what you give ponies?
Do you know what? I'm not entirely sure. Like, he's available, right? And he's, and so we'll start with the minimum viable product. What do I need? Someone that can turn up on this Saturday night and do the cooking, right?
And someone who you can pay in sugar cubes and carrots.
Yeah, exactly. And fortunately, he ticks all these boxes.
Wow.
I just don't understand why they say he's a 10-1 favourite. I'm not sure what that's about.
Yeah, you thought he said he was going to turn up at 10-1, but no, he's actually a 10-1 favourite.
Logistical challenges. But we're sorted now. I got someone yesterday, I need to contact him today just to talk about the menu.
So at least we now know what you were really doing on Wednesday when you said you were going to come to the show.
Well, I would say, well, I've actually been doing this since Monday. Like, the amount of emails I've been sending back and forth, like, you know, to different places. And it basically got to the stage where I was just copying and pasting. Before I tell you what I need, do you have availability on 16th of July? And everyone's like, no.
And, you know, this person initially said no, and then realised that actually they were available.
He was like, yay!
Oh, did he stamp his foot four times to say he was available?
Yeah. Yeah. So did you have a productive week, Tom?
I did, yes, I did. It was very good. It was very good. It was night. The show was lovely on Tuesday and Thursday, I tell you. It was really good.
Nice and quiet.
Yeah, nice and quiet, you know. But
money well spent by all the exhibitors, wasn't it?
Yeah. I didn't win any Lego, though, which was unfortunate.
You got a couple of figures from...
Quite a few actually, because nobody was taking them on the last day. So, quite a few of those. I did win some air tags, interestingly.
Nice.
So yeah.
That wasn't a fixed deal at all. Someone coming around, looking at everyone's badges, and then surprise, surprise, Tom wins the first prize, which is a pair of air tags.
It was a bit looking
for budget holders.
Yeah, it was a bit of a total fix, I have to say. But I'm not complaining. So, shall we see what we've got coming up on the show for you this week? Well, this week in InfoSec talks Clipper Chips. Rant of the Week brings us the latest on the Indian government doubling down on their cybersecurity requirements. Billy Big Balls is a review of the latest episode of Black Mirror. Interesting News brings the latest greatest security news stories from around the world. And finally, Tweet of the Week talks about bragging, which I think we'll be doing an awful lot of over the coming 30 to 40 minutes on average. Okay, so shall we get on to our favourite part of the show that we like to call
This Week in InfoSec.
It is that part of the show where we take a stroll down InfoSec memory lane with content liberated from the Today in InfoSec Twitter account and further afield. So before I take you back to our first story, I just want to give an honourable mention that only 12 years ago, on the 17th of June, the Stuxnet worm was discovered by Sergei Ulasen, a Belarusian antivirus software expert. So there's a great write-up on the Kaspersky website, and to be honest, not many people are buying Kaspersky these days anyway, so you know, send them the traffic anyway. But there's a great write-up about how Sergey was at a wedding on the Saturday afternoon when a tech support team in Iran was like reporting random blue screens of death. And if you can imagine, this is you on call, right? How many people actually investigate when those blue screen of death messages come up? Like, how many people just hit the reset button or the reboot and just get on with their day?
How many people answer the phone when they're at a wedding?
Well, I assume he was on call, you know, so maybe it's part of his job. But yeah, anyway, Sergey, he was diligent and he ended up discovering one of the biggest worms which targeted SCADA systems. And was believed responsible for causing substantial damage to the nuclear program of Iran. But yeah, well worth a read up on the Kaspersky website for that one. But that's not the story I'm focusing on this week. I'm going to whiz through this one. But because we raised it a few episodes back, I shall take you a few years back, a mere 24 years, to the 24th of June 1998, when the NSA published the Skipjack encryption algorithm used by the Clipper chip after the algorithm was declassified. So who cares about the Clipper chip? Well, if we want to learn from history, the Clipper chip was a chipset that was developed and promoted by the NSA under the Clinton administration. And it was an encryption device that secured voice and data messages with a built-in backdoor that was intended to allow federal, state, and local law enforcement officials the ability to decode intercepted voice and data transmissions. And the original plan was it was intended to be adopted by all telecommunications companies for voice transmission, right?
Yeah.
And it was suggested the device itself was vulnerable to brute force. you know, from the beginning. But other opponents pointed out that if only US manufacturers were required to include the chipset, then foreign manufactured phones would just be imported, you know, resulting in the program's failure and obviously cause material damage to the US wireless phone manufacturers. You know, so the likes of Verizon, all those guys, they wouldn't be happy. So introduced in 1993, it was entirely defunct by 1996. Obviously, yet today's governments around the world still want this ability to eavesdrop in communications of anyone they want under the guise of anti-terrorism.
So the thing there, you know, I kind of get, you know, federal agencies, etc., but local law enforcement, have you seen some of these people?
Jeez. I know. And I mean, obviously, this wouldn't be abused at all.
No, never.
Because even like, you know, local law enforcement that look up like, you know, ex-partners or, you know, ex-partners, new partners, or like just run their number plates to see where they live or, you know what I mean? It's, this is.
Would never happen.
Yeah.
Never happen.
So, yeah, there's just no positives from this. But I generally think that the thing that really swayed it was actually the telecoms providers saying that, look, you know, you're going to destroy our market. I don't even think the government thought about this was a terrible idea for all the other reasons.
Dear me.
But alas, history keeps repeating itself.
I know.
Yeah, our last reference takes us back to just yesterday, a mere 10 years ago, when on the 24th of June 2012, in the wake of the flashback botnet which targeted Macs, Apple removed a statement from its website bragging that OS X isn't susceptible to viruses. So their website used to say a Mac isn't susceptible to the thousands of viruses plaguing Windows-based computers. That's thanks to built-in defenses in Mac OS X that keep you safe without any work on your part. But then after the flashback Trojan infected more than 600,000 Macs worldwide, the wording was changed to say, it's built to be safe. Built-in defenses in OS X keep you safe from unknowingly downloading malicious software on your Mac.
And, well, I suppose this statement still was true because it wasn't affected by the thousands of viruses that attack PCs because those weren't cross-platform viruses.
Yeah, but I think and it still said a lot these days. I still hear people say, I actually heard it recently, is that, you know, Macs aren't susceptible to viruses.
I know.
Yeah, people still believe that stuff.
Yeah, they do.
It's just...
And I think you're because it comes from, like all things, from a grain of truth way back in history, right? And it just gets repeated and amplified. You know, it's just that it's not financially viable or as much fun to screw up a hipster's Mac.
Well, it doesn't have quite the same ring to it, where like our footprint in the world is so small, attackers aren't bothered to develop viruses for us. Doesn't have quite the same ring to it as like, you know, we don't have viruses.
They don't want the art files that you that you're working on.
Yeah. There's only so many smoking chimpanzees you can ransom, right? Excellent, Andy. Thank you very much for this week
in InfoCert.
If you work hard, research stories with diligence, and deliver well-edited, award-winning, studio-quality content for high-paying sponsors, then you too can be usurped by three idiots who know how to think on their feet. You're listening to the award-winning Host Unknown podcast.
I'm going to take exception with that because I'm going to suggest we really don't know how we think on our feet. We're not that smart, let's face it. Okay, let's move on to our next segment, shall we, to this week's...
Listen up!
Rant of the week.
It's time to mother rage!
So, I am going to pick up on a story that we covered not so long ago, actually, or actually is related to a story we covered not so long ago. But the headline is, Government Employees Banned from Using VPNs in India. So this is an interesting one. It's the latest chapter of India's ongoing battles against online privacy software. Government employees are now banned from using third-party VPN services. This came from this recent story we covered about some of the best VPNs have been demanded to be shut down and shut down their Indian servers over privacy concerns over new data law. So I can't remember the name of which company. Was it ExpressVPN or Nord? Yeah, ExpressVPN.
Yeah, one, yeah.
They
well, all three of them. All three of them, now,
yeah. They just basically shut down their operations in India because they don't keep logs of who's going through them, and the privacy law said, you have to give us all your logs, or you may be called upon to give us all your logs, which, of course, they can't comply with. So I think they moved many of their servers to Singapore, was it? Or certainly around that sort of area. So they all are going to physically leave the country before it comes in on June 27th. Now, how do we know that that all this is going on and that the government employees are now banned from using these third-party VPNs? Well, because after the Indian government issued confidential information security guidance to staff, it was leaked straight away, possibly through the use of a VPN, who knows. these guidelines that were leaked to the 30 million plus workers it employs, that's quite a government payroll, isn't it? To adopt better work practices. And unfortunately, as if to prove the point, the document was leaked. It does give the impression that information security could be a little bit more loosey-goosey in India's government than many other governments. Unlike, for instance, local law enforcement in the US, where absolutely nothing, services, systems are never, ever abused.
No.
So, yeah, this feels like a little bit of a game of escalation.
I mean, I can't believe they're not just doubling down. They every week when more and more people are saying, look, this is a bad idea, you can't do this, it's going to... Like, it's like they don't care. They double down even more. It is just crazy.
Yeah, it's getting harsher and harsher. And I think, this world's largest democracy it's a little bit like the world's second largest democracy, starting to not look like much like a democracy anymore. Are things that are changing. It's a very, very authoritarian approach to things. Now, I'm all for, good security practices certainly in government. I mean, I'd like to know that my money is being put to good use and not to paying ransoms and stuff like that. But, it's you've got to look a little bit deeper than just saying what you can and can't do in an environment this large and this complicated. As you say, rather than just doubling down, you need to be looking at some slightly more alternative measures to this, and how you can actually encourage people to behave a little better. So, this is just the tip of the iceberg as far as I can make out. This is going to be really, we're going to be reading more and more about this. And I think there may well be a few more rants, to say the least.
I'd love to know the first people prosecuted for not reporting vulnerability scans on their websites or something.
Yes.
What the fines are going to be. But, including this list of things, they banned the use of VPNs, but they've also banned the use of third-party NTP servers and third-party DNS servers. So you have to use the Indian government's DNS server.
Interesting.
And you have to use the Indian government's NTP server, which is... Yeah. Where's that getting its sync from?
it's very much like the Great Firewall of China. But what I find also interesting though is that it's really easy when it's at this scale and this level to see how ridiculous it is. But when you look within actually at a lot of the security industry and when you look at enterprises, it's not that different in the approach that sometimes it the policy is a list of do's and don'ts, and it doesn't explain quite the why or the intent behind it or what the actual desired outcome is. And for too many years, I think that has caused, you know, a lot of rift. And we talk about, say, compliance as an example, where it's like, oh, you have to comply with PCI or whatever, and this, that, the other. And, you know, I think it all stems from the same root cause, where people become fixated on the technology and the do's and don'ts, as opposed to what is it that we're really trying to achieve here. Because, you know, this is all, I'd like to believe that this is all coming from the government as with a mandate which actually means well, which is we need to protect our stuff online. And they've given it to some department who've outsourced it to some student, and they've come up, well, the way we can do it is if we block VPNs and if we block DNS and, you know, or with third party, you know, cloud services, then we'll become secure. And that isn't the way to go about it.
Yeah. Well, and that was this week's Jav's Rant of the Week.
Rant of the Week. You're listening to the double award-winning Host Unknown podcast.
Jesus, Andy, that one's dark.
You say that we're double award-winning, and I'm thinking we're triple award-winning. I think we've won twice at the Blogger Awards, and I think we also won at the Unsung Hero Awards.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
Can you get your money back on that one, Andy?
I'm sure I can. I'll get a revision later.
Yeah, I mean, you say your man knows us, but he forgot that part.
Not that I'm petty or that these things actually mean anything to me, but I just, in the interest of accuracy, that's all.
We should also give a shout out to our big friends of the show, Smashing Security, that's Carole and Graham, who won Most Entertaining Security Blog this week at the European Blogger Awards.
Yeah, had we had a blog, we would have won that as well.
I think that's what they thought as well, because they don't have a blog either, as far as they're concerned.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Consolation prize, exactly. But, you know, it's okay,
exactly,
guys.
Exactly, yeah. So, but nonetheless, have to say that both Graham and Carole were one of the first people outside of the immediate awards who reached out to me and congratulated me, so fair play to them. And thank you, Graham and Carole, for living rent-free in our heads for so long that actually we feel that this is a really important thing.
Yeah.
Well, they were previous award winners in, I think, 2018, 2019
They've won loads of awards. They've won loads of awards. And, you know, rightly so. I mean, they've built something quite incredible. But come on, it's time for the young ones to come through now, right? something irony. Right, shall we go on to this week's?
So the Billy Big Balls of the Week is a review of the latest episode of Black Mirror, where a vast megacorp sells AI software that learns to mimic the voice of a deceased woman whose husband sits weeping over a smart speaker, listening to her dulcet tones. Only joking. This is a real life. This is Amazon, and it's one of their latest experimental features on Alexa, which was announced at their Amazon conference in Vegas on Wednesday, which is probably why there weren't as many people at InfoSec on Wednesday. But Rohit Prasad, head scientist for Alexa AI, described the tech as a means to build trust between humans and machines, enabling Alexa to make the memories last, where so many of us lost someone we loved during the pandemic. What a load of utter horse crap.
Have these people not watched Black Mirror? I mean, Jesus.
I have no idea. But what I did think that if, you know, I mean, I would actually get my voice put on Alexa just so that every now and then it would come on your speaker saying, why did you kill me, Andy? Why did you kill me, Tom?
No, please don't smother me with that pillow. No, no, stop.
Help, I'm trapped. I'm trapped.
I'm trapped in this but, little box. Actually, well, that was another Black Mirror, wasn't it? Where they take a recording of your brain, i.e. to make a copy of you, and then trap you in like an Alexa box so it can, you know, it's the thing that knows your routine the most. And they actually bully this avatar, this virtual representation of a human being, who actually thinks it's alive and is a human being trapped in a sort of environment, and bully it into behaving like an Alexa type device. It's incredible.
Fantastic. Now, this is interesting. So they had a video where Amazon showed a child asking, Alexa, can grandma finish reading me The Wizard of Oz? And the voice changed. And,
no, Timmy, so grandma's creepy. Dead.
Yes, yes. But what this, it does raise a lot of interesting things about the digital afterlife. And I remember years ago reading this story about this guy, his dad died. And he used to play a car racing game with his dad, and his dad would always beat him. So his dad had the best lap time around it. So he got on the game one day, and the ghost car was his dad actually there. So he'd race against his dad. And then one day he overtook his dad and he's about to beat him, but then he stopped before the finish line to let his dad's ghost car win.
No,
if he had won, he would have overridden.
Isn't
that
the story of Cars? Doesn't, you know, stops just before the finish line to let let his father figure drive past him. Yeah.
No. But another thing. So one of my cousin's sons, he'd done an internship at one of these robotic kitchens. And it's like you have these robotic arms there, and you put all the sauces and the ingredients in them. No.
Just checking.
But so you would upload the recipe of how to make a pasta, and it's mainly for like mass catering and what have you. But it would then take all the ingredients and make them perfectly every single time. So you could like have Andy. Maybe you should look into this for your sister's birthday. But the robot would then mix all the ingredients together and make it. And so what they then had is, I think they had some Gordon Ramsay or what's the other, Jamie Oliver, train it into how to make a certain dish, and it would then replicate it and make it every time. And even he was saying that one of the features that future planning when it becomes more commercial or what have you, is like you could ask your grandmother to make whatever, you know, ravioli or the way she makes it, and then the machine would remember it. So even if she lives in a different country or she's passed away, the kitchen would make it exactly how grandma would make it. And I think something like that actually makes a bit of sense, because it's something it's food that you like, and it's cooked in a certain way that you're used to and what have you. But this Alexa and using AI just to simulate someone, it just feels a bit creepy to me.
One of the comments has made me laugh, because obviously, you know, we're talking about deep fakes potentially being a serious issue in terms of, you know, people getting you know, called up, hey, it's me from the CEO, Mr. Accounting Department, please can you transfer all this money to this account, you know, in that voice and that sort of thing, and make it interactive. But there is a funny comment here which says, hi, Billy, it's Grandma. After story time, take all of mine and Mummy's jewellery, put it in an envelope and send it to me in heaven. P.O. Box 1234, Nigeria.
Well, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, and will voice authorization work anymore, right, in terms of...
this is true.
You know, the sort of, you know, can you mimic voice as a form of authentication? My voice is my passport, verify me.
Well, it's like when you're chatting to somebody on FaceTime and they shout out to their Siri or their Alexa and yours responds, right? It's like you can, you know, take control of devices just like that. So it's perfectly plausible.
What? Yeah. So Billy Big Balls or Rand of the
I don't know.
I think they could be interchangeable, as is very often the case here, I think, but they could be interchangeable.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. Maybe we get Alexa to emulate the voice of the Indian government to remind government workers not to use VPNs.
Or to download and install VPNs all
yeah,
of a sudden.
Yeah, there you go.
This is,
you know, hello. This
we've always been at war with Oceania.
This is your Prime Minister Modi. Please download a VPN. I don't know. It's I won't arrest you. Anyway, thank you. That was this week.
Billy Big Balls of the Week.
Feeling overloaded with actionable information?
Yep.
Fed up receiving well-researched, factual security content?
Yes.
Ask your doctor if the Host Unknown podcast is right for you.
Always read the label, never double dose on episodes. Side effects may include nausea, eye rolling, and involuntary swearing in anger.
That does sound about right, in fairness. So, just as it's always time to take your medication, what time is it now, Andy?
It is that time of the show where we head over to our news sources over at the InfoSec PA Newswire, who have been very busy bringing us the latest and greatest security news from around the globe.
Industry news.
Bratta, Android malware group now classified as advanced persistent threat.
Industry news.
Former Amazon worker convicted of Capital One data breach.
Industry news.
Google Chrome extensions could be used to track users online.
Industry news.
New DFS Coas NTLM relay attack enables hackers to perform Windows domain takeover.
Industry news.
Cloudflare outage knocks hundreds of websites offline.
Industry news.
US bank data breach impacts over 1.5 million customers.
Industry news.
Eurocops dismantle multi-million dollar phishing gang.
Industry news.
Yodel's cyber incident disrupts UK deliveries.
Industry news.
Less than half of organisations have open source security policy.
Industry news.
And that was this week's
industry news.
Wow.
Huge. Especially, this one's dark. Eurocops dismantle multi-million dollar phishing gang. Jeez, I didn't think dismembering was like legal in any of the kind of European countries that we operate in. I mean, the death penalty seems a bit harsh, let alone pulling them apart limb by limb.
Good one. So you talked about this story, Tom. What is this one about, the new DFS coerce NTLM relay attack? Can you explain that one a bit?
I could, but I think it's far more interesting to hear you talk about the Cloudflare outage and how that happened.
Yeah, it's probably like some misconfigured DNS or something, isn't it? Isn't that how it always happens?
Either, or some of the lava lamps became a bit predictable.
Yeah.
So Cloudflare one, they had an outage that affected traffic in 19 of their data centers, and it was caused by a change that was part of a long-running project to increase resilience. Ironic.
So they pressed the green button,
they
quickly control Z, control Z.
Well, they didn't have an undo button. That's the key thing. Yeah. You got to have an undo button. But it is Cloudflare, isn't it? Who has something like 128 lava lamps that they film, and the movements of the lava in the lava lamps is what creates their high entropy random generator thing. Isn't that right?
I genuinely didn't know that. I did not know that.
But there's a YouTuber called Michael Reeves, and he's absolutely
hilarious. Oh, yeah.
And he done this experiment like in his last video a few weeks ago, where he put stocks of two companies up on the wall and there's a fish tank underneath it. And he used to track which half of the fish tank the fish would spend more time in. And whichever side it would spend more time in, he would buy that stock. And he, so it's completely random, chosen by a fish. And he compared it to the actual stock market and also a Reddit channel called, I don't know, there's a Reddit channel which gives you stock tips or something. And the fish outperformed all of them. So,
but this is like, you know, like during World Cup and big sporting events when people have a... that sort of thing, like a terrapin in a tank that goes one way or the other, and it picks a winner. And people will literally bet everything they've got on, you know, whatever this thing randomly decides.
Well, it's a 50% chance thing, isn't it? Darren Brown does that thing where he gets a woman to pick. He gives someone, I think it's a woman in this case, he gives her the winner of a horse race, and it comes in. So he gives the second winner of a horse race and it comes in, and so on, to the point where he gets her to remortgage her house and get loads and loads of loans, and you know, loans from friends and all that sort of thing, to put all the money on a final horse, and because she's won five of the previous five horses races, she puts it all on. And the horse loses, but then he reveals that actually he didn't put the money on the horse that he said he would. He put it on another horse, which was the one that actually won. Blah, blah, blah. But when you go back to it, it actually turns out in the first time around, he approached six people and gave them six different horses, and then just chose to broadcast the one that won. So on and so on and so on, right? So it was... he also did a thing where he flipped a coin and it landed up heads 10 times in a row. And you saw the entire sequence. What you didn't see was the 23 hours of filming it took to get 10 heads in a row.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all the perspective can sometimes be all over the place on it.
Yeah.
What else have we got in here?
Don't believe everything you see.
What else have we got in here?
Yodel cyber incident disrupts UK deliveries. Those of us in the UK who are aware of Yodel's unreliability at the best of times have probably noticed no difference in service. No. But Yodel are saying they're experiencing a cyber incident which is causing service disruption. And they have rolled out the classic, I don't think we've lost any card data.
Well, they should do is what better. Hermes did, which is, you know, have such a bad reputation that you rebrand, and then all everybody talks about is how bad Evry was, and anyway, it's just Hermes in a different wrapper. So, you know, there's not a lot you can do about that.
Alas, but no, the rest of the news is all about InfoSec Europe, which I deliberately left out.
Yeah, because, yeah, well, I mean, apart from one story, right?
Did I leave an InfoSec Europe story in there?
The winners of the most entertaining blog.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, that's just a given, that one.
Okay. Anyway, on that note, that was this week's
industry news.
In 2021, you voted us the most entertaining cybersecurity content amongst our peers. In 2022, you crowned us the best cybersecurity podcast in Europe. You are listening to the double award-winning Host Unknown Podcast. How'd you like them apples?
Awesome.
You're literally burning through all of the new jingles, aren't you?
I mean, we've got to get our money's worth. And also, you're going to have to get that one re-recorded as well.
Well, yeah, triple award winning. Oh, my God. Oh, jeez.
I think if you just have it as multi-award winning, that will just cover us for the future.
Yeah. Multi-award winning. Absolutely. Right, let's bring it home, Andy, with this week's
Tweet of the Week.
And we always play that one twice.
Tweet of the Week.
And I shall give you two because you have played that jingle twice. And it has to be because there's an honourable mention in here. And the first Tweet of the Week is from Eleanor Dalloway. And it says, when I say that's a wrap, it's an actual wrap. 15 years of InfoSec and my last as part of the organising team. It's been a blast, and you have no idea how emotional seeing my wall of favourite covers makes me. thank you to everyone for making this show so fucking special. As we know, Eleanor is stepping down as the editor of InfoSec magazine and has been an unwitting contributor to this show for many a year.
Jav, can you see you and me on that wall of covers there?
Yes, I can.
Don't claim you're some of the Reservoir Dogs that are up there.
No, we're in the one, the third one from the left, the one where arm goes over with all the...
Oh, you're looking, this is your little panel thing where you're looking up and down and like lovingly into each other's eyes.
Jav's hitting me.
Same difference.
Yeah, violence is Jav's love language.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. No, but it's been a fantastic run, 15 years, Eleanor. Info security. And I remember when I first started out, so this is like going back, well, probably about 15 years.
When they threatened to sue you for being called Yes, he did. Quicker than a deck chair.
For fuck's sake, guys. Anyway,
yeah, get your story out.
No, I was approaching a whole bunch of I was looking at security magazines and who their editors were, like The Register and InfoSec SE and everything. And Eleanor was the editor at that time, and she looked far too important. I said this to her the other day when she invited me on her podcast, and I was like, "You seemed far too important then, and you still seem far too important for me to just cold call you or say like, hey, do you want to do an interview or something?" So, but no, she's been an absolute institute, and you know, she's done a fantastic amount of good for the community.
Just a shame that her last InfoSec had to be so soulless, right, Jav?
Yeah.
I mean, your words, not mine.
Okay, what's the other tweet of the week?
Okay. I'll rescue here, you, Jeff. So our second tweet is it's one of these fantastic visual ones where you actually have to click into it to see it. So it's initially a tweet by Lisa Farbstein from the TSA spokesperson, and she has a photo of all of the liquids, oversized liquids, gels and aerosols that travellers had in their carry-on at an airport over a three-day period. So it's like this huge collection of like bottles and stuff, you know, and she reminds everyone the limit for liquids through a checkpoint is 3.4 ounces. And the tweet was quote tweeted by Matt Jay, and he says, "Imagine being in InfoSec and proudly announcing all of the false positives that you blocked," which
true.
I think is a great analogy for this
true.
One. It's okay, great. They stopped, you know, people with, you know, deodorant and toothpaste and, you know, water.
Because they're when combined, they can potentially make explosive substances, right?
Well, I think that's the reasoning behind it.
And of course, so when they dispose of the said liquids, they keep them separated and dispose them carefully rather than just throwing them into a large container, and
into
then
the
keeping
same
them all,
container.
You know, getting them all close together and mixed up for a photo opportunity.
Yeah, do you know, I bet half the TSA agents take some of this stuff back.
Yeah,
like some of the expensive.
Definitely.
Well, they take iPads
like
and shit. Why wouldn't they take
somebody's
wash and go? I mean, the thing that there's a couple of things here. One, I think it was a knee-jerk reaction at the time to do this, and it wasn't done on any kind of fact-based evidence and all that sort of stuff. I think the reason why there's a picture like this is twofold. One, I think the communications as to why it's needed is just not clear. It's just a purely thou shalt not do this. And secondly, because of that, people don't understand it. And so when they're packing and they're looking at a bottle of shampoo, they're not thinking, oh, that's 3.4 ounces or that's more than 3.4 ounces. It's just like it's an unnatural
especially
for want of a better term.
Especially if you don't understand freedom units as well. I mean,
But if you look at the picture in the front row on the right, they've got like snow globes. Like those little round things that you shake, and because that's got liquid, that's been confiscated. There's peanut butter in there. You know, it's
that's
like,
neither a liquid nor a gel. It's like, well, it's a paste. I get it's a paste.
Exactly.
In fact. Yeah, and pastes count, toothpaste. But
yeah, it's just like so much.
What about a frozen bolognese sauce? Would that count?
I have no.
Because it's
idea.
A solid, right?
What temperature does it become?
Well, room temperature, I presume, but you know, but when you take it through, it's a solid. What's it? So, could you take a frozen bottle of water through?
No.
Why not? It's a solid. It's yeah. It's anyway. Like I say, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I don't know. It's a strange one.
Mind you, why we're trying to make sense of the TSA is another matter entirely.
Yeah, it's an exercise in futility.
Tweet of the week.
Right, we've reached the end, gentlemen. Thank you so much. We've covered a lot of ground, mostly about how we are a multi-award-winning podcast.
Indeed. Yeah.
The most important story.
Oh, dear. Who did we beat, by the way?
Down the rabbit hole. Rafael.
Down the rabbit hole. Rafael really? Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a runner up.
My God, it must have been thin on the ground for competition if they were the runner up.
I know. I think that was just added in to rub it in Graham's face even more. That not only did you not win, you weren't even the runner up. So you were like, you know, he's now thinking, like, did we even get a podium place at all?
I'm sorry, but smashing security is far better than down the rabbit hole. It's got to be said.
Oh, absolutely.
No, but we don't say that out loud. We don't want to give Graham.
I just thought about it. Sure, I just thinking.
Feed his ego. Yeah, yeah. It was great because on the day of the awards, Yvonne Eskenzi, who heads up Eskenzi, and they're in, she goes, "Would you mind co-hosting the awards with me?" I said, "That's absolutely fine." And I thought, I'm nominated in the categories. I was one of the judges. The company I work for is one of the sponsors for the awards, and now I'm hosting it. There's absolutely no conflict of interest anywhere here whatsoever.
So, it was a shoo-in.
In your face, Graham.
We won, you lost.
Yeah.
However we decided to do it. We did make that unnamed contribution to their charity afterwards, so.
Oh yes, there was that as well.
Exactly.
So, just in the interest of transparency, because that's what we're like. We believe in radical transparency.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very happy to say when we bribe the officials. Right, Jav, thank you very much, sir, for your contributions this week. And so lovely to see you for all these days.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was a pleasure to see you. And thanks for... Just on the last point, on the last day, my daughter was off, so I took her into InfoSec, and she was a bit shy going around asking for swag because I was like, "You can go and just get swag," and so Uncle Tom took her around, and I was sat at my booth, and like half hour later, she comes back with two massive tote bags filled to the brim. She goes, "Hold on to this, I'm off to get some more."
Uncle Tom will show you how to do it.
We did well. Didn't quite get the TV off the wall like you tried one year, Andy, but we did pretty well.
I thought it was free.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was good. It was lovely walking around and talking about all the different stands and, well, all the different techniques of how you get swag, basically. It was lovely. And it was lovely to see her there as well. So... yeah, it was good. And Andy, thank you very much for today.
Stay secure, my friends.
Stay secure.
You've been listening to the Host Unknown podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, comment and subscribe. If you hated it, please leave your best insults on our Reddit channel.
Worst episode ever.
r/smashing security.
I cannot wait to hear how your voice comes out in post on this one.
I am really worried. Especially as I've got to edit it.
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter came back home. I tell you, Tom, my daughter came back home and she was like, Father Christmas is like, her brothers and sister were around her and she was like, all their Eids had come at once. And she was like, there's a baseball cap for you. There's a baseball cap. There's a torch for you. There's this for you.
There's a universal USB charger.
Yeah.
I got to the point, notebook. Oh, I've got enough notebooks. USB charger. Oh, I've got enough USB chargers. Yeah, we weren't fussy in the first half. The second half was like, have you got any oh, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You don't have any use. She became quite discerning towards the end.
Yeah.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are joining us. And welcome to the twice award-winning Host Unknown podcast episode, I've lost track, 109.